And we are live on a beautiful Monday afternoon down at the Red Barn, the Vintage Red Barn. On the fly, Jay Machi, and welcoming you to another great year here at Oshkosh Air Venture 2014. We've got a great lineup planned for you this afternoon here at EAA. And down here in front of the Red Barn, I'm joined by H.G. Frouchy, as always, every year. And H.G., welcome.
Welcome. Welcome to beautiful Oshkosh.
You know what? What a difference a day makes.
Well, what a difference a week makes. We've only had a couple of 90-degree days for the entire year. And this is spectacular weather. Once again, we had a great year last year weather-wise, and we're enjoying the same, not sweating, being able to take a shower in the middle of the day and not thinking you need to take another one an hour later. And you just can't beat that.
That's right. That's right. We have some great guests that are going to join us today. The first one is a fellow by the name of Chris Neeson. And Chris is recreating that Flight of Passage, the book. You remember the book?
A wonderful book. Yeah,
wonderful
book. Yeah, terrific.
Rinkerbuck's book. And he recreated this, and he's going to tell us about his project and this flight. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you very much. Great to be here on a beautiful day.
I think Chris is doing something that we've all wanted to do.
He is.
That flight always looked like fun, and I thought, golly, if I ever had the time or the money and or both.
I read that book as a young man, and I didn't have my PA-11 at the time, but it was one of the impetuses for me to actually get a PA-11 of my own was that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that book is just spectacular, and you've managed to follow in its footsteps.
Yeah, you know, it had a great influence on my life, just getting me into wanting to go cross-country in Piper Cubs to begin with, and I purchased my first A3 Cub from a friend of mine that owned it, and flew it quite a bit across the country, and then basically one day with my wife and I, we couldn't get above 4,100 feet. And so I decided to start looking at new airplanes. And when I cruised the Barnstormers classifieds all summer long, and then just this plane, Flight of Passage airplane, happened to come up for sale.
So this is the airplane?
This is the actual airplane, 71 Hotel, from the book Flight of Passage.
Now, were you looking for that airplane when you found it? That's a lucky
coincidence. I was looking for a PA-11, something 90 horse, easy, cheap on the budget.
Yep.
That's what I got.
Yeah, and gorgeous now.
Yeah, thank you very much. It took 2.5 years in the restoration. Got lots of help, lots of fans of the book. You know, I started posting on supercub.org all my pictures, and people seemed to want more and more and more, so I tried to share it, videos of the construction and everything.
Now, at what point did you get in touch with Rinker?
I had emailed him initially right after I got it, and I didn't want to, like, you know, get too in-depth invade his personal life, but it was nice. He would give me talk. We talk about the airframe and what we should do during the restoration.
Okay. And it took you 2.5 hours. Now, where did you... 2.5 years, pardon me. 2.5 hours. Wouldn't we be so
That'd
lucky?
That'd be nice.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? The paint doesn't even dry that fast. Where did you do the restoration, and where are you from?
Well, at the time, I was living in St. Louis, Missouri. I picked the plane up in northern Massachusetts, southern Vermont, actually, area, from Ken Burton. He's in the end of the book where the Rinker goes and flies.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it from him. I took it in a truck to St. Louis and started deconstructing it in my one car. I had to flatten the tires, pull it into my garage, my little tiny one-car garage, started deconstructing it there, and then a long process from there I can tell you more about.
Yeah, we will. I mean, we'll definitely get into that as we... You know, Jeff's keeping an eye on the time and all the other things that we get to do this morning or this afternoon. And but the airplane looks gorgeous, and you've painted it as it appeared?
Yeah. I get so mad at the producer. Whoever did the cover of the book got the total wrong airplane. It's not even a PA-11, and it's the wrong paint scheme. So everybody looks at this and says, that's not even the right paint scheme. But this is the paint scheme that they had, except they added sunbursts on the top of the wings and one on the tail. And people ask me why I didn't do that, and I said, well, they're kind of ugly, and it's still my airplane.
That's right. It is your airplane, by golly. You know, they gave it up, so you get to do it the way you want to do it.
That's right.
Now, a PA-11, is it stock as far as engine and everything else is concerned?
It is. It's pretty much a stock PA-11. I took the 85 that was out, put a 90 that originally came with it, a C-90, back into it, and I added some Super Cub baggage and some other controls, but really it's still a stock.
And for folks who are Piper fans, but they, you know, all the different models kind of confuse folks, a PA-11 is a J3 with what added or changed?
Well, let me just quickly go through that. It's a J3 airframe, but what they did, they enclosed the cowl, they streamlined the struts, they streamlined the bungee covers, and they gained about 20 mile an hour out of doing that. The other creature comforts is they moved the gas tank to the wing, and they moved each seat back about 2 inches, and that makes it much more comfortable in the front seat of that airplane.
A longtime friend of mine and many of us around here, Norm Peterson, his favorite Cub version is the PA-11. And part of it is that Norm was a good 6 foot, maybe a little bit more, and those extra 2 inches made all the difference in the world between being an airplane that he liked to fly, which is a J3 on floats, one old ex-prayer. And a PA-11. He just loved the PA-11. Yeah, couldn't wait to get one.
The way it flies and how much a better performer it is. I think every J3 guy, if it wasn't, the J3 wasn't so nostalgic, they would convert them all to PA-11s because mm-hmm. It's such a nice flying plane.
Well, like so many airplanes, you know, even Champs and Chiefs and other Pipers, the first one is a good airplane, but they're very good at making the next one just that little bit better. So by the time you get done, you know, so many times you hear, don't fly the A model of anything. And
right. So my first flight was actually last month, Friday the 13th. I finished it just 3 days before I left for Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. I left on the 17th for Lock Haven, and we were there a couple days. And we flew on the 21st. We left out of Candlelight Farms, which is in Connecticut.
I used to fly out there.
Both Rinker and Kern met us there. Very nice gentleman. And we talked to him for almost 5 hours. We got lots of pictures, and we talked about the trip. If you go to flightofpassage.com, there's actually about an hours-long video of us talking about the flight. It was one of the best times during the trip.
So tell us. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say. Chris and I were talking earlier, and actually, this recreation of this flight has a purpose, and he's very involved in a foundation. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, my wife is actually a psychologist at the Austin Hatcher Foundation, and she just started this job about 3 months ago. But during the interview, she was telling him that, hey, I'm going to need about a month off here, which is obviously unheard of when you're starting a new job. But they were so taken by the thought of the trip and what we were doing, they said, that's really great. Can we be a part of it? And we thought, well, what a great thing is to try to raise awareness and possibly funds for such a great foundation. Now, the foundation itself, they don't do their childhood cancer treatment and study. They don't do any kind of treatments as far as physically, but they try to erase the mental effects of childhood cancer for both the children and the families long after it's actually happened.
So where would folks find out more information about the foundation?
You can go to the hatcherfoundation.org, but there's also a link right on our website, flightofpassage.com.
Okay. So tell us more about the flight.
Well, sure. It took, we did 250 miles a day. It took 12 days to get to East to West Coast, including a one-day stop in Graham, Texas, to tweak everything that was wrong with the, well, not wrong, but stuff. It was a brand new rebuild, so there was a couple things we needed to tweak. So after there, we set off for the West Coast. I wish they hadn't flown the southern route in the middle of the summer. It was terribly.
They had all kinds of adventures on that southern route.
And we did. Yes. We had our fair share: high oil temperatures, low on gas, airports not, and high winds. All the winds in West Texas.
That title of that book was not for a casual reason. When you think about the title of that
right.
book, and then you read the book, you're like, wow! And you did the same thing and experienced it firsthand.
And we did, and we certainly had our own adventures, some I can't write about for another 20 or 30 years.
As they did.
Exactly right. When the statute of limit, it was, everything was fine. I'd stayed in California, moved up the coast, and then I flew my own route home, I-80. It was just spectacular. The wife had to leave home early. Me and my dog, Lenny, he was in the back seat the whole way home.
What kind of dog is Lenny?
He is a purebred mutt, 100%. and about 50 pounds and loves to fly with me. He's got about 400, probably almost 500 hours now in a Piper Cub.
Most people wouldn't think that a 50-pound dog would be a good airplane dog, particularly for a cub.
No, he just loves to hop in and gets quite upset when somebody else comes and takes his seat.
So what do you do? Now, seriously, with a 50-pound dog, that's a lot of dog behind you. How do you restrain Lenny to be sure that he doesn't
become a
problem?
He's got a harness, and you can just attach him down. And by the FAA standard, he's considered baggage, so nothing different than baggage. So as sad as that is, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't usually get licked in the ear by your baggage.
Well, hopefully not. Hey, listen, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more vintage because we are down at the Vintage Red Barn, H.G. Frouchy, J. Monchi, and Chris Neeson joining us. With the Flight of Passage recreation, the Austin Hatcher Foundation supporting that. And we'll be right back. You're listening to On the Fly. This is EAA Radio.